Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game. Back at it, Chuck Reshow. Hanging out in the Key Studios. Halfway home on this Monday evening with you. 404-741-0929. That's the Solomon Brothers Diamond text line to be part of the show. We can open up the phone lines you want. 404-726-0929. 404-726-0929. Did you see, Day-Day, that the Atlanta Hawks have hired the first female assistant coach in franchise history? Brittany Donaldson.
Yep.
So she was a standout four-year basketball player at the University of Northern Iowa. Did you know her basketball career?
No,
like that?
I didn't. No.
After graduating in 2015, she got her degree in statistics and accuracy sciences. She took a position as Sports VU data analyst with Stats LLC. She's had previous positions in the NBA. So from 2019 to 2021, she sat on the bench as an assistant for the Toronto Raptors, and her most recent gig was the assistant coach and director of coaching analytics for the Detroit Pistons for this past 2022-2023 season. And again, I don't know exactly what she's going to do, but she co-founded Strata Athletics basketball camps in the Austin area, first female coach in franchise history. Her job will be to focus on analytics. Now, do you think that, I'll ask you this, Day-Day, because you're probably more in tune with some of this. You know, Becky Hammon obviously is the name that everybody talks about, but do you see more and more women getting involved in NBA coaching in some ways? I know Becky Hammon's probably the exception to the rule, and I do think that Becky Hammon at some point is going to get an NBA gig. I think the momentum will be there that she gets an NBA gig, that she gets a head coaching job. I'm not talking about she's an assistant under Pop or something like that. No, she's going to be an NBA head coach at some point. And I think that time will be sooner rather than later. What would you think about a female NBA head coach?
I think it's going to happen at some point. And to your point, I think Becky is definitely going to probably be the first one if it happens, she may be the first one. But, yeah, I definitely think it'll happen. It can happen some point. I say 5 to 10 years, we can see that happening. But definitely going to start seeing more and more assistant coaches, on the benches and everything.
Yeah, and look, she's very much involved in analytics, right? And so much of the NBA is going toward that. In all sports, honestly. I mean, in all sports. I always said that I would have loved to have seen Pat Summitt get an NBA job or a men's collegiate job. I would have loved to have seen, you know, arguably, I mean, is she not the greatest, you know, women's basketball coach in history? I mean, again, Gina Auriemma. What's her name? The lady at LSU that coached Baylor.
Mulkey.
Kim Mulkey. You know, you could make a case that that's, I don't know, you know, the 1, 2, 3 best female women's coaches in you know, or coaching of women's basketball in history. But I would have always liked to have seen Pat Summitt be either a Division I college men's basketball coach, or just see what she could have done. Because, right, I mean, she was a phenomenal recruiter. Mm-hmm. Like, she had all – I mean, the thing about her is – I don't know if she, like, was a great X's and O coach, but I can tell you this. She was the best recruiter of all time.
Yeah.
Like Gina Auriemma and Pat Summitt, that's the two best recruiters in women's basketball history. Mm-hmm. Like, ain't nobody got a roster full of people like they do.
Right.
I mean, they got all of the greatest players in the history of women's college basketball. Short of Cheryl Miller and the McGee sisters, right? I mean, short of that group of you know, 84 UCLA in the Olympic team. But wasn't she... Was she not the coach in 84 for the women's Olympic team? Look that up real quick. Well, maybe I should look that up because, again, your proclivities of 1984 women's Olympic basketball coach. Let me see here real quick if she was the coach on all of that. I can't remember if she was the coach for the United States team, but. I don't have it. I don't have it here, but obviously, she's arguably one of the best coaches in the history of college basketball. I would have liked to have seen her get a prominent job, even like the men's Tennessee job, right? Like there was a lot of years where men's basketball for Tennessee was floundering around before Bruce Pearl got there, and then Rick Barnes got there. I mean, but for years they were kind of floundering around, right? What's the Oh, gosh, who was the kid that played at Tennessee that went on to the NBA that played for the Allen Houston, right? Allen Houston played at Tennessee, right? And wasn't his dad the coach? Wasn't Allen Houston's dad the coach? See, I'm asking you to look these things up in short, quick spurts, and I'm 25 steps ahead of you on all of this. But there were a lot of lean years in Tennessee basketball where I would have been curious to see Pat Summitt get a chance to coach the men's game. Now, if Becky Hammon continues her success, obviously she just won the WNBA title. If she continues her success, I think she's going to be a head coach sooner than later. There was talk about Indiana was looking at her and had interviewed her. Somebody else had interviewed her as well. And it is sort of a changing of the guard. I mean, it's not just going to be men that – How do you think that guys would respond, though, to having a – how do you think NBA players would respond to having a Becky Hammon? Because, again, she's one of the more respected coaches in all of basketball, and she comes from a pedigree of being one of the more respected coaches in basketball. You think the men would buy into being coached by her?
I think that's probably if there's any type of hesitancy on teams' parts right now is how players would respond to.
Right.
Because, I mean, we just talked about our own situation with Trey and Nate. If we've got, you know, if male coaches can't even in some cases handle or get some of these guys under wraps. So, what would it be like with female coaches? It's not to say they're not deserving, but I think the NBA, before they make it happen, I think they're going to want to make sure that everything is in place for these female coaches. If they get head coaching opportunities, that they're protected and you know, players understand that there's no gray area. You must treat these women coaches like you would treat any other coach.
Well, but yeah, I mean, I do think though that Becky Hammon is somebody who is well respected, and you know, Greg. I mean, listen, Greg Popovich has gone to bat for her many times. I mean, he's talked about the idea of she should be a coach in the NBA. She should be a head coach in the NBA right now, and I think that if you look at the players that played with Pop and in Becky Hammon, they all say the same thing. Like, she knows her stuff. She would be a head, you know, could be a really good head coach. And I do think that, but I wonder if she is the, and I hate to say it this way, if she's the exception to the rule. Like, not everybody could go into a – let me put it like this, okay? Kim Mulkey is a great coach. Mm-hmm. She's a great coach. Just won the national title, right, with LSU after leaving Baylor. But ain't no way she could coach a men's team. Ain't no way. If you know Kim Mulkey and her personality, ain't no way that that could work. Ain't no way that that could work. If you know Kim Mulkey's personality trait, remember, she was the woman who said at Baylor that, hey, if your daughter doesn't want to go to Baylor, you should punch her in the face.
Right.
Right? After the whole, you know, the Baylor football scandal and what was the girl's name? The girl that was sexually assaulted on campus. But again, she was like, you know, you should punch your daughter in the face if she doesn't want to go to Baylor or whatever like that. And again, she's had her own issues, you know, even coaching at Baylor, right? I mean, she would never be somebody who would probably get along with male basketball players and things like that. But I could see Pat Summitt.
Pat Summitt is someone I think that back then, especially, I think she definitely on the college level.
Yeah, I think on the college level, she would have had a lot of success at the college level. Yeah. And I'm surprised, given what her status was in the community, that she never got that chance. I mean, maybe she didn't want it. I mean, I've never read quotes about what Pat Summitt wanted in basketball or whatever like that. But she obviously built, you know, one of the greatest programs in the history of women's basketball. But I would have loved to have seen her just get that chance out there. I think Becky Hammon's going to get a chance here pretty quickly. And we're starting to see more females that are becoming, if nothing else, assistant coaches in the NBA. And obviously, look, analytics and all this kind of stuff plays such a prominent role in all sports, right? I mean, analytics is something that we see in baseball and football and basketball, like all these different things that you see nowadays. And I just think that the time is coming that we're going to see, and I don't know if the NBA, I mean, I don't think we'll ever see a coach in football be a head coach for women. I really don't. There are some assistants and things like that that are in the league, but I don't think a woman's going to ever end up being a head coach in the NFL. But I certainly think that basketball, a sport that translates very well, I would not be surprised if Becky Hammon is a head coach sooner than later. I think that she's well respected in the league, and she's got the ultimate. It would be one thing if who's a bad coach in the NBA? Give me a name currently in the NBA. Who's a nothing coach?
Well, he's turning into nothing. Doc Rivers.
Okay, so but even Doc Rivers would carry weight. Like if Doc Rivers.
So if someone that doesn't carry weight, well, yeah, got like, so like, many new guys now.
Who's the coach for Washington? Who's the Wizards coach? Mike D'Antoni. Mike D'Antoni. Okay, it would be one thing if Mike D'Antoni was making the reference, but it's another thing when Greg Popovich is making the reference, right?
So what's your guy's name? Tom Rudy.
Rudy Tomjanovich won two titles.
Who was the one? No, not Rudy. Carlissimo, the one that.
PJ Carlissimo.
It would be
one thing if he was referring. Becky Hammon.
Yeah.
It's another thing when Pop refers it, right?
Yeah.
Another thing when he refers it.
Yeah.
So, anyway.
Oh, real quick, too. Yes, Allen's dad
was the head coach
and
of Tennessee. Yes,
Pat Summitt, she was co-captain. She played in 76, and she was a co-captain for the Olympics women's, and then she coached it in 84.
See? I'm not so brain dead after all. A little bit, tiny bits. But not completely brain dead. All right, when we get back, it'll be time for That's Life. We'll get to our top 10, and a world record has been caught. It's all next. Chuck Green, the Kia Studios, Sports Radio Net to the Game, Odyssey.com app.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Back at it, John Chuckery Show. 923 live from the Kia Studios. You know what time it is.
That's life.
That's life.
That's what all the people say.
404-741-0929. That's the Solomon Brothers Diamond text line to be a part of the show. Day-Day. Alessandro Biancardi of Italy has been pursuing a catfish for more than 23 years, and he finally landed him. This may be the world record for longest catfish in history. It's 9 1/3 feet long. Now, Day-Day, look this up. A-L-E-S-S-A-N-D-R-O B-I-A-N-C-A-R-D-I. See if it pulls his picture up and things like that so you can get a picture of the fish. It was caught in the River Po a few days ago, and it may be the longest catfish in history. It says it beats the world record by 4 centimeters, and it took them 23 years to catch this fish. Quote, everything started as a normal day of fishing. I went to the Great River Po. Before leaving, I checked knots, hooks, each connection because I'm extremely meticulous. I always need to be 100% sure that everything is in place if a dream fish decided to bite my lure. I was alone facing the biggest catfish I've seen in 23 years. I tried gloving its mouth 2 to 3 times, but it was still too strong. I decided to go in shallow water to land it from shore, and after a few tries, I managed to land it. Have you seen this picture of this catfish? Have you pulled it up? He's got an Instagram post of it as well. The head on this fish is literally like, if you would...
It looks disgusting.
Yeah. Isn't it, though? Like, if you see the picture of the head, you could fit your whole head inside that fish's mouth. And it's a catfish. It's over 9 feet long. Now, I don't know how much it weighs. It doesn't say here in this article. But how ridiculous is that? Like, how...
That looks disgusting.
Yeah, doesn't it, though? Like, how is the fish that big in some river in Italy? Like, it's ridiculous. But you see a picture of it?
It's, ugh.
Yeah. And, I mean, look, catfish are bottom dwellers, right? I mean, they
yeah, they eat all the... Yeah. That's why they taste... you can kind of... I don't know how to explain it, but their meat is...
Well, I'm... You know, truthfully, I'm not a catfish fan.
Me either.
I'm not a fan of catfish. I know people love it.
Oh, yeah.
But I'm not a fan of catfish, so...
I definitely wouldn't want to eat that one. That thing looks disgusting.
Yeah, it's just... It's nasty looking. And, I mean, it's just an ugly fish. I mean, but it's, again, it's in some river in Italy.
Now, you said he was chasing it for 9 years.
No, 23 years.
This particular war, or just in general, he was trying to break the record.
Yes. Gotcha. Well, no, I mean, he was trying to find this monster catfish for 23 years.
Gotcha.
He's been searching for one of these river monsters.
Okay.
Right? You ever see that show, River Monsters and all that? No. That guy goes around the world?
About. Yeah, I just never
yeah,
had
he
a
just,
chance
he goes
to watch
around
it.
The world.
Yeah.
So, anyway, kind of crazy. All right, Whitefish, Montana. A decade after Jack Links, you know what Jack Links is? Like the beef jerky and all that kind
of
stuff?
Oh, yeah.
Jack Links beef jerky?
Yep, yep.
A decade after Jack Links invented its own meat-loving holiday, National Jerky Day, they now have a meat retreat at a Montana dude ranch. The 4-day, 3-night meat-centric excursion is at the Bar W Guest Ranch in Whitefish, Montana, where guests will experience cowboy life with fly fishing, horseback riding, roping lessons, campfire songs, line dancing, and leather crafting. It says that you'll relax in a trough-turned jacuzzi known as the Marination Station, then rest on a beef stick bed and awake to a meat print robe and all the jerky imaginable. How sick of jerky would you be after 3 days or whatever? The package also includes a meat feast with a private chef, marinated flank steak bruschetta with a jerky-infused cream sauce, teriyaki beef, bison meatballs, juicy tomahawk steaks, and New York style cheesecake with a jerky and graham cracker crust that's on the menu as well. The meat retreat is a, quote, an immersive five-sense experience that will be seared into the minds of our meat-loving guests for years to come. Bookings for stays in late August will open up on June 12th. So on June 12th, get your booking in for August, Day-Day. So listen, you and the family and the wife, I mean, I saw your pictures, over the weekend of the strawberry. Now you can go to the meat jerky.
Yeah, I'm good.
Now you can do the beef jerky extravaganza. And the bed looks like sticks of beef jerky.
Yeah, I'm
okay
with
that. And the pillows are covered like beef jerky. And then you get a robe. I'm looking at these robes. They look like raw beef jerky on the robes. Have you ever gone to Buc-ee's and gotten their jerky?
I haven't gotten the jerky, but definitely been to Buc-ee's.
Have you? I mean, those pieces of jerky are like like pounds, right? I mean, like, they're monstrous.
Yeah,
I mean,
they're huge. Yeah,
yeah, they're huge on there. So anyway, well, listen, you can go to Montana and get a meat retreat at the Dude Ranch in Montana. That the whole thing just kind of sounds disgusting. So, but anyway, all right. Happy birthday today to Mark Wahlberg. So, I was thinking about this. While I like Mark Wahlberg, okay, I would never pay money to see him. Like, there are certain actors and actresses I would pay money to see. Like, I would pay money to see Angelina Jolie. I would pay money to see certain actors and actresses because I know I'm going to get a really good performance, right? Okay. So with that tonight, I said Mark Wahlberg would not be one of those guys that I would pay to see. So with that, tonight's top 10, actors or actresses that you would not pay money to go see in a movie theater to watch their movies. Day, the floor is yours.
All right. Ben Affleck.
Oh, that's a good one.
Yeah. And again, we say this all the time. I know I said, but Daredevil ruined it for me. Now, I will say The Town, I did enjoy the movie The Town with him. I thought he did well in that one. But other than that, I'm just.
I don't disagree with you. Now, the funny thing is, I'll go see Matt Damon because I think he's really good, like right. Especially as Jason Bourne. Like,
sometimes they come as a package deal.
Right, right. But I mean, you know, just to see him, yeah. The only movie I really liked, well, a couple of movies that I really liked Ben Affleck in was you're talking about Boiler Room.
Yeah, that's right.
That scene in Boiler Room was fantastic. Right. Yep. I mean, he's only on air for about 5 minutes, but was fantastic in Boiler Room. Did not like him in Superman. he directed a movie I really like, Gone Baby Gone.
I do remember that.
That was his brother, Casey Affleck, that was in that movie. Mm-hmm. Not a very good feel-good movie, but it was a really good movie.
Now, he's directed some very good movies.
Oh, yeah, Argo and some of those movies. Yeah, I think he won an Oscar for Argo. So, but, yeah, I'm with you on that.
Yeah, so Ashton Kutcher.
Oh, God.
Jimmy Fallon.
I got roped in to spending money on Dude, Where's My Car? In all honesty, I wanted to take a machine gun and mow everybody down on that movie. Mow everybody down in that film when it was all said and done. Dude, Where's My Car? Yeah. I paid money to see that movie.
All right, Jimmy Fallon, David Schwimmer from Friends, Amy Schumer, Zac Efron, Kristen Stewart, Ezra Miller, Stacey Dash, and Hayden Christensen.
Okay. So I went even higher level of Hollywood than what you did. So I do have Mark Wahlberg.
He's got some good stuff, though. He's got some good stuff. I mean, he does. I mean, he does have some movies where you're just like, but he's got some good
As a leading man, I just don't really like his movies. I don't particularly like his movie.
Yeah.
So I don't like. Matthew McConaughey.
Wow, really?
Yeah, Wolf of Wall Street, he's got those good appearances in movies. But as a leading man, like, I wouldn't go see
his best
movies.
Was probably Time to Kill.
Yeah. Well, again, his co-star in that movie, Sandra Bullock.
Yeah.
And I like her. I like Sandra Bullock. But, again, I wouldn't, like, I like Speed because Keanu Reeves was in it.
Right.
But when she did that second one, that was garbage. Like, the Jason Pat, like, I didn't go see that. Like,
she's over the top for me. I'm not really.
Joaquin Phoenix. Now, the reason I went to see Joker is because I love the character.
Yeah.
Like, I love that character.
Yeah.
But after I saw it, it just reminded me that, okay, like, I'm Phoenix is just too weird for me.
Yeah.
Like, he's just too weird.
I was gonna say, I think it's because he's weird. Yeah.
Yeah. He's just too weird for me. I love looking at her, Brody. And I know she's got that Barbie movie out. And again, she did that. I didn't like her in
Birds of Prey and all
yeah,
that.
Yeah, like I didn't see that. I saw a little bit of Suicide Squad, yeah. And then when I saw she was going to do Birds of Prey, I was like, eh, I'm good on yeah. all this. I mean, and I know, look, she played a great part in Wolf of Wall Street and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And that leads me into, you know, one of the other guys, Leonardo DiCaprio.
I
like Leonardo DiCaprio, but I don't go to a movie to see him.
Really? Now, did yeah. you see Inception? So you didn't go to the movies to see Inception?
No.
Inception was great.
Now, see, I went to see Once Upon a Time in Hollywood because it was a Tarantino movie.
Right.
And I like Brad Pitt.
Right.
And I will pay to see Brad Pitt and George Clooney and those guys. I will pay to see those guys. I don't care so much for Leonardo DiCaprio. Johnny Depp. The only movie that I really... The two movies I liked of him, Donnie Brasco. But again,
yeah.
that's a mob flick.
Right.
I didn't go see Johnny Depp. It was De Niro, Michael Madsen.
Right.
Like, it's a mob flick, right? And then the other one is Blow.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
And Penelope Cruz, Paul Rubens.
Yeah.
Like, I wanted to see that movie because I thought it was a good movie. But Willy Wonka and... pirate thing.
He was good in the Pirates movies.
Yeah.
First couple especially. Then I liked him in Sleepy Hollow as well.
Yeah. Anyway. Julia Roberts. I know she's like one of the all-time leading actresses, but again, that Aaron Bogdanovich movie or whatever it was. I mean, I'm not. And these last two will surprise you. Kevin Costner. And I like some Kevin Costner movies. But it's because of this. When he starts doing some his movies have some good stories in it.
Right.
But like, there's a lot of those movies that he's just in that I don't care about. You mm-hmm. know, like again, Field of Dreams is a sports movie and all that.
Right.
And that's why I went to see that. Right. But like, Waterworld or
what about The Bodyguard with Whitney?
I went and watched it because I like Whitney Houston. I want to see if she could act.
Right.
You know, gotcha. I want to see if Whitney Houston could act.
Gotcha.
I mean, you know, but I did see that movie. What was that movie where he
Untouchables?
Did?
Untouchables.
Where he was like, but The Untouchables is because of my favorite director.
Gotcha.
Like De Niro, like
Francis.
De Niro, yeah. The Untouchables is done by, Brian De Palma.
I mean,
Brian
De Palma.
Brian De Palma is my favorite director. So. He did the Untouchables. De Niro's in it. Sean Connery's in it.
Yeah.
I mean, I love Sean Connery and De Niro. So, but Waterworld, some of those other movies, those other goofy sports movies that he did, I didn't even see Tin Cup. Like, I didn't even go and see, you know, Tin Cup or whatever like that. So, and then finally, The Rock. Because he's in every movie.
Yeah.
He's in every movie.
Yeah, he really didn't. To me, I'm trying to think. Of all the movies movies I've seen him in, there was never one where I was just like, he was great.
The one that I really liked was The Rundown. And that was like his first or second
movie. That was like the first or second one. That's the one where
he had done the mummy thing.
Right, right. The Scorpion King.
Yeah.
Right.
I think that was his first movie.
Right.
The Rundown was like, okay, on his own, solo. Mm-hmm. I like that movie.
That's where he drove that car, right? He had the fast car or something like that.
No, he was the bounty hunter, and he went after the guy from Dude, Where's My Car?
Yeah, that's right.
And they went to this foreign country, and they flew, and you know the Christopher Walken was the bad guy and all that.
Yeah,
I like The Rundown. All the Fast and Furious and just I don't pay money to see his movies. So there you go. All right, when we come back, Bob Nightingale joined us for a few minutes. What he had to say about the Braves and Marcelo Zuna and all the like. Chuck Green, the Kia Studios, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey.com app.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
All right, let's head out to the WadeFord.com hotline. Let's talk to our buddy Bob Nightingale, national MLB columnist for USA Today. Bob's on Twitter, at B Nightingale. Bob, as always, buddy, appreciate it, man. Thanks for a few minutes here in Atlanta.
Sure, my pleasure. Thanks, Chuck.
You know, it certainly seems like when Brian Snicker calls a meeting in Arizona over these last couple of years, I guess that they it's like E.F. Hutton, right? When he talks, they listen.
Yeah, I mean, work last year like a charm, and it's funny, like you said, he goes, "Yeah, well, I look smart when I do it before Strider pitches." And that's what happened last year, too. Strider made his debut in Phoenix and had the team meeting and took off.
You know, Bob, you had the story about Brian Snicker benching Marcell Ozuna after, you know, looking at the home run. You know, I like the fact of not just the fact that he's holding guys accountable, but I really like the fact that this got out publicly, that this was a story that came out publicly, that they didn't try to monkey around or tinker around or say, "Oh, well, Ozuna pulled a hamstring," or anything like this. No, like, he made Ozuna and these guys be accountable for their actions. I give Snicker a lot of credit. I mean, he's an old soul in baseball, but, you know, a lot of managers I don't think would have, you know, put it out there in public or you know, been as honest about the situation as what he was.
No, 100% with you. You know, when it happened, I said, is he going to get benched? You know, kind of forgetting he's a DH. You don't know if he's going to get benched or not.
Right.
Obviously they didn't pinch run for him. But then when they brought in a, you know, Olsen, a pinch hit, I said, okay, yeah, now we're, you know, and I'm sorry, not Olsen, but Murphy. He said, okay, this was it. And, you know, nobody really asked him about it downstairs. It's like, man, this should be big. And finally, you know, he acknowledged that, you know, simply, yeah, he feels bad about it. But I'm glad Snicker did. I'm glad he outed him, because that was inexcusable. It cost him a run. It could cost him the game. He should have been at least on second base, if not third, at least second. And then remember when there was a pass ball and the ball hit the right side, so it cost him a run.
You know, Bob, you know, I was talking about the schedule for the Braves, and once they get through this Mets series, things really open up. I mean, they play the Mets at home for three games. They'll later in the month, they'll go on the road to Philadelphia. But they've got a couple of last-place teams in the schedule, Detroit, Colorado. Obviously, you know, even the Twins are kind of a little bit kind of mediocre right now. The Reds are nothing really special. You know, it feels like if the Mets and Phillies don't start to strike now, then this thing could start to separate itself as you get into July, because, again, the Braves have a lot of, and I say easy games, but they don't have some difficult series that are coming up outside of New York and Philly.
No, I agree. I think, I mean, I really believe Atlanta's a class of National League. I'd be stunned if they don't win the East. You know, the Phillies are going to be, you know, kind of quicksand all year. I don't know what they're doing. The pitching's not there. you know, the Mets are under change.
Oh, did we lose Bob? Well, I think maybe we lost Bob. Bad connection, bad signal there. So, well, anyway,
he's
listen.
Coming.
Like Bob, are you there?
Yeah, so no, I like him a lot. I think they're going to win the pennant again. I don't see a team better than them.
Do you think that this is Verlander's last season? I mean, is, you know, again, it's, I understand the injuries early in the year, but it has been a struggle for him. I mean, is this the year we finally see Verlander hang it up?
Well, remember, he signed a 2-year contract for $86 million. He's not going to walk away for $43 million. So, no, I don't believe that. And remember, he's always said, Chuck, that he wants to pitch. He's 45. I don't think that's going to happen, but I'm not sure it's even going to be done after these next 2 years.
Yeah, I mean, and I know he had the monster season last year, right? I mean, he was the Cy Young winner last year, but is it just, you know, was it just the early season injuries and trying to get back into it, or have you seen something different about him? Because this has been, and I know the injuries, you know, have factored into, you know, the 2021 season and the pandemic year, but he's had four straight years where he's had a lower number of strikeout per nine innings. And, you know, at some point, I mean, you know, when you lose that ability to get guys out nowadays, you know, again, guys are just going to sit there and tee off on you. And, you know, I wonder about if it's just, you know, age, health, like what is it about him?
Well, yeah, I think it's age. And remember, guys were using the sticky stuff. I mean, it was so common in baseball. And I think it was prevalent, you know, with guys in Houston and stuff like that. And you know, guys are getting away with it now that, you know, MLB is cracking down on all the pitchers. I think kind of a combination, just age and, you know, you can't get the grip on the ball like you used to. And, you know, I mean, we haven't seen too many guys, you know, pitch one in their 40s. You know, Randy Johnson, you know, he starts when his age. You know, Nolan Ryan's about the lone exception. You know, Roger Clemens there. But that's about it. No, not too many guys can do that.
You know, Bob, you're in Arizona. Are you still surprised? I mean, you and I talked about this specifically about, okay, could Arizona hang for a while? And you said that, you know, eventually their pitching might catch up to them just trying to overtake the Dodgers over 162 games. Are you still surprised that they're hanging tough with the Dodgers? I mean, 35-25 at this point of the season, pretty good home record. They're above 500 on the road. They are a plus, you know, run differential team. You surprised that they're still hanging in there?
I am. You know, I think they're going to hang in there. I don't think they're I don't think they're going to go all in to trade the line or anything like that. I still think they're a year away. We saw that in the Atlanta series where they lost 2-3. You know, the bullpen coughed it up. You know, they got two, you know, magnificent starters, particularly with Zach Gallen. You know, you still got, you know, Merrill Kelly too. But, you know, I'm not sure that the staying power. But I'll tell you what, I didn't think the National League was going to be this down, Chuck. I mean, I never thought the Mets, the Phillies, and particularly the Padres would be this bad.
And again, we've seen teams like Pittsburgh be four games above 500. The Marlins are four games above 500. I mean, it does seem like the National League is upside down from what it's supposed to be right now.
Yeah, I mean, look at all the money. I mean, they you know, the Mets with the taxes, you know, about $500 million. The Padres are about, you know, over $250 million. So yeah, it's embarrassing. I think if the Padres don't make the playoffs, Chuck, I think it'll go down as the most underachieving team in baseball history.
So do you think that Mets, Phillies, Padres, if they continue to underachieve, that they will look to move some of those assets? Or do you think that they ride it, you know, this entire year and stay the course? I know how much money they've forked out, but, you know, at some point, if you're not getting any kind of return on investment, do you try to offload some of those contracts?
No, I think they stay the course, you know, for the season. Be too embarrassing to give up. You know, plus the National League is down. So, you know, there's all those, you know, three wild card spots. So you can't give up. Now, in the offseason might be a different story. I think if the Padres don't make the playoffs, they got to see what they get for Juan Soto. I would dump him and see what you get back. You know, you can't do anything with Machado. He's got the, you know, no trade clause. Tatis is having a good year. Bogaerts, you know, showing a lot of help. So yeah, I don't see them or the Mets, you know, or the Phillies do anything during the season. But the off season, they might have to look in the mirror and say, you know what, it's not working. Let's move some people.
Bob, the Texas Rangers just continue to pile up wins, and their run differential is just absurd. And you know, we talked about, you know, potential MVP candidates before, but again, this team is just, I don't know, what do they do? I mean, they're 38-20. They're a +152 run differential. They're dominant at home. They're dominant on the road. Like, why is this team, like, suddenly just come up and been so good this year?
Well, because they got the biggest free agent acquisition in all baseball, Bruce Bochy. you know, it's amazing this guy was sitting out there. Nobody wanted him. And it's pretty much the same team. Yeah, they got a couple of parts. I mean, you know, but DeGrom hasn't pitched. So, yeah, Bochy made a difference. And his sidekick, of course, is Mike Maddux, the pitching coach. You know, they made some nice free agent moves. You know, Nathan Eovaldi has been great. You know, of course, you know, Semien a year ago and Seager a year ago. But I think, you know, it shows what a coaching staff, what a difference it can make for a team.
So I know Ohtani is in line to just get the, you know, Megalodon type of contract long term. But as this team with the Angels just continues to flounder and just, again, I think they're what, a game above 500? And you and I specifically talked about the idea of, you know, that Mike Trout may be, you know, this generation's, you know, kind of Ted Williams. I mean, just not much, you know, playoff appearances and, you know, maybe not winning a World Series, but are they going to pay Ohtani, you know, $500 million? I mean, to be there, I know the attraction of it, but from the baseball perspective, they get nothing out of having arguably the two best players in baseball, maybe along with Aaron Judge, but maybe two of the three best players in all of baseball for it.
No, and what they are getting out of Ohtani is money. I mean, he's worth about, I was told, about $20 million a year, Chuck, with the licensing and merchandising and everything else. So, you know, and, you know, Trout's got to bring in some money, nothing like Ohtani. So, yeah, it's a shame, and I think they'll stay with it unless they just have a complete free fall and just kind of lose him as a free agent. You know, I think it's, you know, 50-50 coin flip. Does he go to the Dodgers or goes to the you know, San Diego Padres? I think he likes San Diego a lot. I mean, likes Southern California a lot. I'm not going to completely rule out San Francisco or Seattle, but he's such a homebody, I think he definitely stays out west.
Bob Nightingale is a national MLB columnist for USA Today and joined me on the WadeFord.com hotline. Check out his personal Twitter page, at BNightingale. Bob, as always, buddy, appreciate it, man. Thanks for a few minutes in Atlanta. We will certainly chat again soon.
Sure, my pleasure. Thank you, Chuck, as always.
You got it. Chuck Reed in the Kia Studios, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey.com app.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.